and overall message being conveyed in the first
5-6 chapters of Gita. Although there are multiple titles, there is Sankhya Yoga or Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Karma Sanyasa, Ashtanga Yoga, but the essential message being conveyed in the first 6 chapters is Karma Yoga. We are titling, Acharyas say that these first 6 chapters are giving the message of Karma Yoga, because although Krishna is speaking about Jnana Yoga, he is bringing the discussion to Karma Yoga. Although he speaks about Jnana Yoga, still he says Karma Yoga is better for you. So that way the first 6 chapters are speaking Karma Yoga. Ultimately Krishna's intention is come to Bhakti Yoga. That's how Prabhupada explains that in this Karma Yoga is also Krishna consciousness. Okay, so Karma Yoga in its ultimate sense is working for the Supreme Lord without any material desires or attachments. Okay, so we'll begin from the 7th sloka now. The gist of this section is, one who is in knowledge understands one's incompatibility with material nature and thus acts only for purification. Okay, he is not attached to material results. So this is a person, the description given is about a person who is a Nishkama Karma Yogi. How a Nishkama Karma Yogi frees oneself from bondage is described in this next 10 slokas. 7th sloka. Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma,
Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma,
Vijitatma Jitendriyah,
Vijitatma Jitendriyah,
Sarvabhutatma Bhutatma,
Sarvabhutatma Bhutatma,
Kurvannapi Nalipyate,
Kurvannapi Nalipyate,
Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma. One who works in devotion. Basically, Yoga Yukta is a person who is Karma Yogi. Okay, Nishkama Karma Yogi. Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma. A person who is doing this Karma Yoga and he is a pure soul. Vijitatma Jitendriyaha. Okay, Vijitatma means he controls his mind. Jitendriyaha means he controls his senses. Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma Vijitatma Jitendriyaha. Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma Kurvan Api Na Lipyate. So such a person is very dear to everyone. Okay, and everyone is dear to him. Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma means he is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. Such a person, Kurvan Api, although he is performing so many activities, Na Lipyate, he is not entangled by them. Fine. So that's what Krishna says. Karma Sanyasa in one sense is giving up your action. Okay, so that you don't have to incur any reactions. But Krishna says, engage in action, still you don't get any reaction. Okay, so if you avoid action, there is no reaction. But Krishna says, engage in action, still there is no reaction. Provided you do that action in a spirit of renunciation, with a detachment as an offering to the Supreme, in full knowledge of your constitutional position as a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, as a spirit soul, just entrapped in material body. Fine. So a Karma Yogi or Yoga Yukta cannot think of any living entity separate from himself or the Supreme Lord in quality. Okay, Krishna is supremely spiritual. All his parts and parcels, amshas, are supreme, are also spiritual. So like that, a Karma Yogi or a Yoga Yukta sees the equality between himself and all the other living entities. Okay, so just like branches of a tree are not separate from the tree in one sense, similarly the parts of the Supreme Lord, the amshas of the Supreme Lord, the jivas, are not separate from the Lord in quality. So such a person cannot think of any living being as separate from Krishna, just as the leaves and branches of a tree are not separate from the tree. A man of controlled senses cannot be offensive to anyone. So that is sarva, that is vijitatma jitindriyaha. So now sarva bhutatma bhutatma, in the Bhagavatam also this concept is described. Atma ramascha manayo nirgrantha api urukrami kurvanti ahaitukim bhaktim ittam bhuta guno harihi. Even a self-satisfied sage also will take pleasure in relishing the beautiful qualities of Krishna. Right? So, when such a person develops love for Krishna, then he is naturally loved by other devotees, and other devotees are also loved by him. Okay? So that's what is being said here also. He is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. So, understanding one's position as the servant of the Lord or the part and parcel of the Lord, and understanding others' position also in a similar manner, one will naturally be dear to everyone and one will naturally hold others also dear to him. I and that person are same. We are all parts and parcels of Krishna. Okay? So that understanding one has. Next, 8th and 9th slokas. The further qualities of a yoga yukta or a karma yogi, a person who is performing karma yoga or nishkama karma yoga, is described. In 8th and 9th slokas, Krishna says, Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tattvavit pashyan shrinvan sprishan jihgran ashnan gachhan swapan swashan. So, naiva kinchit karomiti, although he is engaged in so many activities, he is not doing anything. That's what Krishna said in the previous shloka also. Kurvan api na lipyate. He is not, although he is working always, still he is not entangled. He is continuing the dialogue now. Naiva kinchit karomati. He doesn't do anything. He is doer, yet he is non-doer. Yukto manyeta tattvavit. Tattvavit means he is knowledgeable. He knows the truth. Pashyan srinvan sprishan jigran. Means he is touching, he is smelling, he is seeing, he is hearing. Okay. Ashnan, he is eating. Gachan, he is walking. He is swapan, he is sleeping or dreaming. Swashan, he is breathing. And pralapan, vishrijan, grihanan, unmishan, nimishan napi. Indriyan, indriyartheshu, vartanta iti dharayan. So very beautiful. Although all his senses are doing their functions, just like any other ordinary person. Still, although he always knows that only the material senses are interacting with their objects, and he only understands that I am aloof. My senses are interacting with their objects. Okay? My senses means the senses of the body in which I am currently dwelling are coming in contact with their sense objects. I am aloof. I am spirit soul. I have spiritual engagements as a matter of duty. Just because I am in this material body, this is happening. Let it happen. Okay, I am detached. Okay. So, you are sitting in a train. In the train, so many things are happening. Okay. But you are absorbed in your activity. But all because you are inside the train, you may witness those activities. Right? You may even get affected by those activities. For example, in the train, fan is moving. You are feeling cold. Okay? You may cover yourself. Okay? Or fan is not working. You are feeling hot. Okay? And you may open the window and then allow some air to come in. Or somebody is chit-chatting in front of you. Somebody is sleeping. Somebody is walking. Somebody is selling some things, some objects. So like that, so many activities are happening in the train. You may be seeing them, you may be touching them, your senses are coming in contact with all those activities, but you yourself are absorbed or you are thinking of something which is very specific to you only. Is it not? As a matter of fact, you are in the train. Okay? You may have to come in contact with everything. The TT will come and ask you, or some other person will come and sit next to you. You have nothing to do with all that. So just like a person who is traveling in a train is aloof from all the things that are happening around him, he is focused on his destination. In 4 or 5 hours, I will reach my destination. I will get down. This is what I am going to do there. While being in the train also, I may be reading a book, I may be writing something, I may be taking rest, or I may be hearing some music or whatever. You have your own thing. Although all your senses may come in contact with other things, they are all very trivial for you. You may do it. Somebody will ask you, will you take this cold drink? You will say no. There is an interaction there, but there is no attachment there. You are detached. Okay. So similarly, a self-realized soul, although the soul is living within the body, which is material body, and the material senses are coming in contact with material sense objects, and this body needs some food, needs some air, needs some sleep, so many things are happening to the body. But inside, he is aloof, he is focused on what he is. I am a spirit soul, I am a part of Krishna, I am supposed to be doing Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. As a matter of fact, I may be engaged in maintaining my body, attending to my bodily needs. I will do it. Just like a person who is traveling in train may interact with other passengers and the vendors who are coming and selling different things in the TT and other things, this and that. He may be staying very next to the toilet. The smell also may come. As a matter of fact, he has to experience all that. Or his seat is not reserved, he is in waiting list, he may be sitting on the floor, okay, waiting for the TT to confirm, okay. Or he may not get seat at all this he will experience, but he is focused on his destination. I have nothing to do with this train and compartment and the co-passengers and all these vendors here, once I reach my destination in 3 hours. That's all. Fine. Similarly, a devotee who is focused on Krishna, all these things will happen. What are they? Pashyan, Srinvan, Sprishan, Jigran, Ashnan, Gachan, Swapan, Swashan, Pralapan, Visrujan, Jigran, all this will happen. But Naiva Kinchit Karomiti, it's as good as that person is not doing anything. Okay, is it clear? So that's how a mature spiritual seeker will function. Prabhupada writes in the purport, a person in Krishna consciousness is pure in his existence, and consequently he has nothing to do with any work which depends upon 5 immediate and remote causes. That is the doer, the work, the situation, the endeavor and fortune. This is because he is engaged in the loving transcendental service of Krishna. Okay. So we need to have that real focus on our spiritual goal. As a matter of fact, we may be dealing with so many things. So you may get a phone call, you have to attend to phone call. That phone call may come with an issue. You may have to resolve that issue, or you may express your inability to resolve that issue. So all these things will continue to happen. But what am I here for? I am here for, what are you here for? Okay. But ultimately, why are you studying Bhagavatam? Okay. Prema Pumarto Mahan. Okay. The ultimate goal of every human being is Krishna Prem. And the process of attaining that Krishna Prem is studying Bhagavatam, your various devotional services, Ravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, etc., etc. Okay. So, in material consciousness, the senses are engaged in sense gratification. But in Krishna consciousness, the senses are engaged in satisfaction of Krishna's senses. 10th sloka. Brahmanyadhaya karmani.
Brahmanyadhaya karmani.
Sangam tyaktva karotiyaham.
Sangam tyaktva karotiyaham.
Lipyatena sa papena.
Lipyatena sa papena.
Padma patrami vambhasa.
Padma patrami vambhasa.
Another beautiful sloka. Krishna says, Brahmanyadhaya karmani. Karmani means he engages in so many activities. Right? A self-realized soul also here, yoga yukta, a person who is engaged in yoga. So he also performs so many activities. But why does he do so? For the sake of the Supreme. Brahmanya dhaya karmani. He offers all his karmas to Brahman, the Supreme Brahman Krishna. Okay. Then sangam tyaktva. He has no attachment to the results of those activities. Karoti yaha. He performs all those duties without any attachment, either to the activity in itself or to the result of that activity also. You have no attachment to the activity. You have no attachment to the result of activity. You perform as an offering to the Supreme. Next, such a person, lipyate na sapapena, he is never affected by any sinful action. Okay, he is not at all affected by any sinful reaction. Padmapatram ivambhasa. Krishna gives a beautiful example. Just like a water drop is there on a lotus leaf. So just as the lotus leaf is untouched by water, although lotus leaf is within the waters, and water is there on top of it also, sometimes the lotus leaf will touch the surface of water, and because there is some kind of cup kind of thing is formed, there is some little water in the middle of the lotus leaf also. But it is dry. It's unaffected. You will pick it out, it's totally dry. You don't have to wipe it with a cloth or anything like that. You can see lotuses in our lakes, in our kunds. So that is how a person works for the Supreme with detachment. You have a question?
Two examples about Parshuram and Arjuna. Parshuram all did annihilation 21 times, but it was told that you have performed sins, so perform austerities to clarify it. And also for Arjuna, he was, because he killed Bhishma, so Vasus took action. He was again, Arjuna was killed by Bhuminjay. Although he was revived again, but then Vasus said he should not kill Bhishma, because he is also Vasu. Then although both performed their actions without attachment, because Parshuram was Lord himself and Arjuna did under the guidance of Lord. Ultimately they were purified. But in between appear, it was said that they made some mistake.
Now when very great souls perform some atonement, or some other people may also come and say, oh, this is what you have done, and this is the atonement that you have to perform, and they, out of their humility, they may accept that atonement process also. And they think that we have to experience the reaction to this. So that doesn't actually minimize their position in any way. It's their magnanimity that they are accepting that process of atonement to set an example for people in general. So we may not minimize the position of Parshuram, who is directly an incarnation of the Lord, and although he performs some tapasya or atonement for doing some killing, that's only to set an example for people in general. And although Jamadagni chastised him, as a Brahmana, you are supposed to have the quality of forgiveness. You cannot punish like this. So that's to announce the glory of the quality of forgiveness and emphasize that Brahmanas are supposed to be in this way. Okay. So, but that does not mean Parshuram is affected by the reaction in any way. So sometimes great souls also perform atonement. Even for their activities that they have done under the instruction of Krishna, as a part of Krishna's plan. But their performance of atonement also could be a part of Krishna's plan to set an example for others. This is my understanding. So, 10th shloka, purport. Here, Brahmani means Krishna consciousness. Brahmanyadhaya karmani is basically working for the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So, although the effects are differently manifested, they are non-different from the cause. In the Isopanishad, it is said that everything is related to the Supreme Brahman or Krishna, and as everything belongs to him only. One who knows perfectly well that everything belongs to Krishna, that he is the proprietor of everything, and that therefore everything is engaged in the service of the Lord, naturally has nothing to do with the results of his activities, whether virtuous or sinful. Okay. So you are working under the instruction of the Supreme Lord. So when you are working on behalf of someone, you will not incur the reaction. You are not entitled for the results of that action also. For example, some employee in a company develops something, okay, develops some project, or he works on some project, and then after few months he gets an output. Okay, he worked for the company, and that copyrights of all that should belong to the company. And when the people are going out of company, although they only worked it, the company will say that no, this work you cannot take. This belongs to us. We paid you for it. Okay. So you are working for the Supreme Lord. It's a very crude example in one sense. But when we are working for the Supreme Lord, on behalf of the Supreme Lord, so the result of that action, you should not claim it. You have no claim over the result of your activity when you are working on behalf of the Supreme. So whether it is good or bad reaction, you are not entitled for it. So Arjuna thinks that, oh, I am engaging in this fight. Krishna, you are instigating me to engage in this fight. And when people are killed there, I will get the sinful reaction. Krishna says, I am instructing you. Right? Masuchaha. Saham tvam sarva pape bhyo moksha isyami masuchaha. Ordinarily, if you kill someone, you will get sinful reaction. But under Krishna's instruction, if Arjuna is killing someone, he will not get any sinful reaction. Krishna says, you are working on my behalf. Right? You are an instrument in my hand. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachi. Krishna says. So, one should work on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Follow the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Then, and raise one's understanding over this ordinarily sinful or pious activities. Do devotional service. As a part of devotional service, sometimes people like Arjuna may have to be violent against people like Duryodhana or Karna or Shakuni or Dushyasana. That's part of the devotional service. Fine. That's why we need to see, we need to understand Brahmanyadhaya Karmani, work for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then you will be freed from all reactions. Sangam tyaktva, be detached from your attachment, from your obsession to perform certain activity or obsession to enjoy the results of that activity. Sangam tyaktva, okay. Then lipyate na sa papena, there is no papa, there is no entanglement in it. 11th sloka. Kayena manasa buddhyam kevalairindriyairapi yoginah karma kurvanti sangam tyaktvatma shuddhaye. Okay. Kayena means by body, manasa mind, buddhya intelligence, kevalair indriyair api, indriya refers to senses, yoginah karma kurvanti, a yogi may perform so many activities, he may act with his body, mind, intelligence and senses, but he does it without attachment. Okay. Yoginah karma kurvanti sangam tyaktva. Although he is doing with his kaya, manasa, buddhya, indriya, so many activities, because there is sangam tyaktva, there is no attachment to those activities, atma shuddhaye, he is purified. He performs all these activities for the purpose of purification. He is only seeking purification by performing these prescribed activities. No enjoyment in this. Is it clear? Karma, technically, a karma yogi is a person who performs prescribed activities for purifying oneself, not for gratifying one's senses. Prabhupada writes in the purport, Yahayasya harir dasya karmana manasa gira nikhilashvapi avasthasu jivan muktaha sa uchyate. One who performs so many activities with his body, mind and words, if he is doing as an offering to the Supreme, then he is a jivan mukta. Although he is living within this material world, within a material body, still he is unaffected. He has no false ego, for he does not believe that he is this material body or that he possesses the body. He knows that he is not this body and that this body does not belong to him. He himself belongs to Krishna and the body also belongs to Krishna, of course. So I, along with my body, should engage in Krishna seva. That is his understanding. Okay. When he applies everything produced from the body, mind, intelligence, words, life, wealth, etc., whatever he may have within his possession, to Krishna's service, he is at once dovetailed with Krishna. There is no entanglement. There is no, there is absolutely no sinful reaction incurred by all these activities. Okay? 12th sloka. Yuktah karma phalam tyaktva shantimapnoti naishtikim ayuktah karma karena ayuktah kama karena phale sakto nibadhyate. Yo yuktah karma phalam tyaktva. Yuktah means again. Yoga yukta or yukta is referring to a person who is engaged in karma yoga. In the highest sense, engaged in Krishna consciousness. Yuktah karma phalam tyaktva. Such a person will easily give up the karma phalam, the results of his activities. Shantimapnoti naishtikim. Shantim apnoti, he attains unadulterated peace. Naishtikim shantim, not just normal peace, unadulterated peace, that undisturbed peace. Sometimes you may be little peaceful and somebody will come and disturb. You again come into anxiety. But there is absolutely no anxieties for him. So, yuktaha karma phalam tyaktva shantim apnoti naishtikim. You will attain peace, shanti to the degree you are karma phalam tyaktva. You are not attached to your material activities or the results of your material activities. When there is attachment to the enjoyment that you get out of an activity, then there is no In the first two lines of this shloka, it's very clearly said that yuktaha means a karma yogi, because he has no attachment to the results of his activities, he will attain peace. In the second two lines it is said that ayuktaha kama karena. Ayukta means one who is not engaged in karma yoga or a non-devotee. Kama karena, because he performs activities out of sense gratificatory desires, phale sakto nibadhyate. He is completely entangled and bound by the results of his activities. Phale sakto, he is attached to the results. I do this action so that I get this result and I do sense gratification with that result. Then there is bondage. But karma yogi thinks that I do this action because it is prescribed for me and I have no attachment to the result. For example, we have our devotees here. In the initial stages, 10 years back when we came here, none of these buildings were existing. All these amenities building, this your Bhaktivedanta Vidyapit building, all this were not existing. So, we have some core devotees engaged in construction of all these buildings. They put all their energy, intelligence, time, everything to make all those buildings. Okay. But none of them are living in those buildings. So with full responsibility, they have made a house. But they are not living in that house. They are living in the same ashram. Okay. In that same corner with their mosquito net and yoga mat, they'll sleep there in that corner. They'll continue to sleep for the rest of their life, probably. So although they made such palatial buildings, nobody has a claim over it. Fine. But an ordinary conditioned soul, he may make a building, he is attached to that building. So they work under the instruction of Guru and Krishna. So they make something, but they are not attached to the result. Giving a commitment and having full responsibility for a work, my God. Okay, we'll let the tractor go. This is also happening because of some work. And the person who is coming and dumping here, the person who asked, called for all this material and managing the whole work, he has no attachment to the work. He has no attachment to the result of this work. He is doing for the sake of the Supreme. Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyaktva karoti yaha lipyate na sapapena. Okay. And the purport. Entire purport is important. What should we read? It's okay. They are doing their devotional service. We have 1 hour. Okay. In Khargar, I completed this chapter in 2 hours. In 3 hours also, I won't be able to complete here. Probably because of the gap that we had. 1 month gap, na? Okay. 12th purport. The difference between a person in Krishna consciousness and a person in bodily consciousness is that the former is attracted to Krishna, whereas the latter is attached to the results of his activities. That's what the 12th shloka says. One is yukta, one is ayukta. Yukta is a person who is doing his activities for Krishna without any attachment to results. Ayukta is a person who is doing his activities for sense gratification and he has full attachment to the results. Okay. So the person who is attached to Krishna and works for him only is certainly a liberated person. And he has no anxiety over the results of his work. In the Bhagavatam, the cause of anxiety over the result of an activity is explained as being one's functioning in the conception of duality. Doership, duality. Oh, this gives me happiness, I'll work. This gives me distress, I will not do this work. Okay. So, but if it is pleasing to the Supreme, whether it gives me happiness or distress, I will do this work. That's what is our conception. Bhakti Yoga means he is not attached to the happiness or distress or difficulty or the ease of doing works, whether it is pleasing to Krishna or not. That is the conception of a Bhakti Yogi. Getting up early in the morning at 3:30, 4 o'clock may be difficult, especially in the winter season. But a Bhakti Yogi does it. Because it is pleasing to Krishna, it is pleasing to Guru, it is a part of his sadhana, right? And by doing so, he will come closer to Krishna. By attending Mangala Arati, by chanting Japa with the devotees and all, he will come closer to Krishna. That's what he is looking for. Whether it is difficult or not difficult, that's a different thing. Of course, you are sick. I'm not speaking about those exceptional cases. But even though it is difficult, even though it is little distressful, still a Bhakti Yogi performs activities to please the Lord. But someone who is totally centered on what gratifies my senses and what is difficult for my senses to take in. This is the basis of all my decision making. Such a person is ayukta, who does work kamakarena. Phale sakto nibadhyati. There is bondage for such a person. Phale sakto means he is attached to the results. Nibadhyati. There is complete bondage. All that exists is a product of Krishna's energy and Krishna is all good. Therefore, activities in Krishna consciousness are on the absolute plane. They are transcendental and have no material effect. Okay? 13th sloka. Sarvakarmani manasa.
Sarvakarmani manasa.
Sanyasyaste sukham vashi.
Sanyasyaste sukham vashi.
Navadvare pure dehi.
Navadvare pure dehi.
Naiva kurvan nakarayan.
Naiva kurvan nakarayan.
Sarva karmani manasa. Sanyasyaste sukham vashi. Till 12th sloka, the characteristics of a yoga yukta are described. Okay, from 7th shloka till 12th shloka. In the 7th shloka, Krishna said that yoga yukta is never entangled. 8th and 9th shloka, although he is doing so many activities, sparshan, swashan, jighan and all that, he is not the doer. He is doer, not yet, not the doer. In the 10th shloka, he said, brahmanyadhaya karmani, he works only for the Supreme. In the 11th shloka, he says, behind all his works, the motive is purification. In the 12th shloka, he summarized everything saying that one attains unadulterated peace by working for the Supreme. Okay? Now, from 13th shloka onwards, Krishna is starting another topic. We'll start it after the tractor goes. So in the 12th shloka, Krishna summarized everything by presenting the difference between a karma yogi and karmi. Karmi is a person who works for his own sense gratification with attachment to results of his actions. And karma yogi is selflessly working for the Supreme without any attachment to the results. Okay. Now, who are the doers of all these actions? When a work is done, there should be a doer. Although the doership is not attributed by a karma yogi to himself, but still he is doing an activity. So what exactly are these doers? Who is actually getting the action done? If the worker is not actually the doer, so who is actually doing the work? So that's basically the spirit of non-doership is described. But who is doing the activity? So Krishna speaks about three kinds of doers in the next four verses. Okay. So, very beautifully he explains. Sarva karmani manasa, I am speaking from the 13th shloka, that describes the role of soul in any activity that is being done. Okay. So, sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vasi navadvare pure dehi dehi naiva kurvan nakarayan. So the role of soul is that when the embodied soul is renouncing the results of activities mentally, sometimes may not be physically. He works, he gets salary, 50,000 he gets, or 1 lakh rupees he gets by the end of the month. Means he is accepting the result. It's not that I will work, I will not take salary. That's not the point. He will work, he will take salary, he will maintain his body also, but here is mental renunciation. Internally, he is not attached to that 1 lakh. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste. Internally, there should be renunciation. So, the whole point is spirit of renunciation, not external or physical renunciation. The spirit of renunciation is being glorified here. So when the embodied soul works by mentally renouncing manasya sanyasya, all actions, he resides happily in this body, which is like a city of 9 gates. Navadvare pure dehi is mentioned here. Navadvare pure dehi. This deha has 9 holes. You know what are they? And to maintain this deha with these 9 holes, to maintain this city with 9 gates, you need to have some paraphernalia. For that, a person works. Yoga Yukta also works. But internally, he has renunciation to all of. Renunciation to the work, renunciation of the results of the work also. He resides happily in 9 gates, neither working nor causing the work to be done. So, the role of the soul, a mature soul, is that he does not work, He does not cause any work, but he just resides in the material body through which lot of work is being done. Because internally there is a lot of renunciation, mentally there is a lot of renunciation, the soul is not considered the doer of the work, okay, but still lot of work is being done because of the presence of the soul in the body. But there is internally there is spirit of renunciation. Okay. So the material body has 9 holes, you know what are they? Now in this 13th sloka, 14, 15, 16 slokas, the knowledge of three doers is given here. But in the 18th chapter, again 13th to 18th slokas, Krishna actually gives the knowledge of doers again. So one cannot claim that there is no doership for the soul at all. Although here it is said that there, because there is mentally renounced, the soul has mentally renounced, internally renounced everything, he is not the doer. You can't say like that. But the soul itself is defined by its power of ascertainment and contemplation that implies certain doership for the soul. So that subject of doership is more elaborately dealt with in the 18th chapter. Soul is in one sense the doer, but not the doer also. Okay. The non-doership of the soul is mentioned here. But actually the soul, you can attribute some doership to the soul also. Because of the soul's presence only, the work is being done. And because of the soul's soul's desires only, the soul ended up in this body. Okay? And so many activities are being done. In that sense, in the capacity of being a person who desires certain work, a result of work, he is the doer. So the soul is a doer because the soul desires for the work to be done. Fine? So I'll summarize the next doers also. Super soul is also the doer of an activity because the super soul sanctions the desires of the soul. And Prakriti or material nature is also the doer because Prakriti facilitates for the fulfillment of these desires. You can see in Subodhani, this triangle is given. Okay. The soul desires. Okay. And the super soul sanctions. Material nature facilitates. So all three are doers. But because there is a detachment from the results, in one sense there is no, it's not the doer. Sometimes one doer is emphasized more than the other doer. So sometimes Krishna says, in Bhagavad Gita only, Prakritehe kriyamanayani gunehe karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimodhatma karta aham iti manyate. Although everything is being done by material nature, this fellow, because of his ahankara, he thinks that he is the doer. Yeah, he is definitely the doer, but he is not the only doer. Super soul is also the doer. Material nature is also the doer. So soul is not the only doer. But if you do not have a sense of ownership, sense of proprietorship or possessiveness over the result of your work, you are not a doer. And you are not a doer, you are an akarta when you have detachment, when you are a very elevated soul. Till you are elevated till you are spiritually very advanced, till then you are actually a doer of your things. Okay? So, and you will have to face the repercussions also. You are not doer in the sense that you are not the only doer. Other factors are also involved for the work to be done. And you are the doer in the sense that only because of your desire, other things are happening. Okay? And if you are a very elevated soul, you are not the doer. Because you are working for the Supreme. How can you be the doer? You are getting all this. So it may seem confusing, but if you think with a clear mind, whether you are a doer or non-doer, all these opposite explanations also you can reconcile very easily. Okay. Next, 13th sloka is completed. 14th sloka. Nakartrutvam nakarmani lokasya srijati prabhu nakarma phala samyogam svabhavastu pravartate nakartrutvam nakarmani. 14th sloka describes the role of the nature. The role of the soul we have seen in the 13th shloka. The role of material nature we can see in the 14th shloka. So, now the jiva, who is the master of this material body, does not act, nor does the jiva induce the people to act, that we have seen earlier also, nor does he create the fruits of action. Because it's a spirit soul, how can any material product be manifested, material result be manifested? Okay. But all this is enacted by the swabhava of the jiva. Swabhava means the particular nature he has acquired, the particular nature he has acquired under the influence of modes of material nature. Okay, so many material impressions he is carrying under the influence of these three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamo gunas. Okay, so the nature that the jiva has acquired is actually causing the result to happen. So the nature is the doer. Is it clear? So the jiva himself is not the doer. But the jiva's swabhava, which is a part of material nature, becomes the doer. Fine. So jiva is also doer in the sense of he being desire, he is the desirer of things. But unless the material nature is there, nothing will happen. Unless the material nature is there, unless the material nature's influence is there on the jiva will not desire anything material only. In that sense, material nature is also the doer. Is it clear? Material nature, which consists of the three material modes, induces the jiva to desire something material. So material action is happening. Is it clear? And that's how material nature is also the doer. Okay. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, as soon as the living entity becomes aloof from the activities of the body, he becomes free from reactions as well. As long as he is in the city of the body, he appears to be the master of it, but actually he is neither its proprietor nor controller of its actions and reactions. He is simply in the midst of material ocean struggling for existence. The waves of the ocean are tossing him and he has no control over them. His best solution is to get out of the water by transcendental Krishna consciousness. That alone will save him from all turmoil. Such a brilliant purport. You just need to understand the points being made in this context and the overall picture of the ultimate conclusions of the Shastra or Bhagavad Gita are being presented by Prabhupada also repeatedly. That is Bhakti Yoga. He is often bringing us to the point of Bhakti Yoga. So, na kartrutvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na karma phala samyogam svabhavastu pravartate. So, the soul is not the doer. The swabhava of the soul is the doer. Swabhava indicates the beginningless material impressions are, they are also called vasanas. So, the vasanas are swabhava acquired by the soul. Makes the soul desire something which is sanctioned by the Lord and Prakriti facilitates it. Thus, Svabhava is the doer or the material nature is the doer. 15th shloka. Nadatte kascha chit papam.
Nadatte kascha chit papam.
Nachaiva sukritam vibhu.
Nachaiva sukritam vibhu.
Agnene agnanena vritam gnanam.
Agnanena vritam.
Tena muhiyanti jantavaha.
Tena muhiyanti jantavaha.
The 15th shloka describes another doer, that is the Supreme Lord. In the 13th shloka we have seen how the soul is the doer and the role of a soul in performing any activity. And in the 14th shloka we have seen the role of the material nature in the performance of activity. Now we will see the role of the Lord. 15th shloka. Nadhatte kashyachit papam na chaiva sukritim vibhu. Vibhu is the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord does not assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. He is just witness and sanctioner. So the Lord is the doer in the sense that he sanctions the desires of the living entity and facilitates the fulfillment of the desires through his material energy. To that degree he is the doer. But he is not entitled. So all these three, soul, super soul and material nature, are not doers and are doers also. Because soul is not doing activity, it's just desiring activity. And material nature is facilitating, Lord is sanctioning. Okay. And the Lord is not doing activity, it is the jiva who wants that activity to be done, and it is material nature that is facilitating. Thus the Lord is not the doer. Material nature is ultimately not the doer, because without Lord's empowerment, what will material nature do? Without jiva's desire, what will the material nature facilitate? That's how all three are not doers, but they are doers also. Means, for an activity to be done, all three are involved, then only an activity will happen. Jiva, Ishvara and Prakriti. Soul, super soul and material nature. All three are doers. Sometimes they are described as non-doers also. How can material nature do anything? Okay. Non-doer. Okay. Without spirit soul, how can matter do anything? So that's how matter is not the doer. Material energy. Anyways, 15th shloka, second half, is Agnena avritam, agnana avritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantavaha. The ignorance bewilders the living entities. Avritam, the jiva is covered by ignorance. That's why this jiva desires so many things. He is bewildered, right? So the super soul can understand the desires of the soul as one can smell the flavor of flower by being near it. Super soul is there within us. And we have so many material desires within us. The Lord understands. He is smelling. He has material desire. Okay. Let me sanction it. But if he is an advanced soul who has already started the process of devotional service, the Lord will fulfill the desire, material desire of a devotee in such a way that the devotee does not have any material desires anymore. That's what he did it to Dhruva Maharaj. But for Janta, regular people, Krishna will just act as Mattaha smritir jnanam apohanam cha. You are so adamant, so bent upon fulfilling your material desires, so I'll allow it to happen. But once you come into my realm by chanting my names, by taking association of my devotees, after that also if you have some desires, I will still fulfill them in such a way that you don't desire them anymore. So that is Krishna's expertise. So once you come to Krishna, understand that he will take care. He will purify you of all material desires. Man proposes, God disposes, without interfering with the desires of the minute independent living entities. But under the spell of ignorance, the living entity claims that the Lord is responsible for his conditional existence. So 15th shloka, second half, describes how ignorance bewilders the conditioned souls. 16th shloka describes how knowledge enlightens the souls. Before that, we see the explanation given in the 15th purport. The Lord is always self-satisfied. He is satisfied in himself, undisturbed by sinful or pious activities. He does not create a particular situation for any living entity, but the living entity, bewildered by ignorance, desires to be put into certain conditions of life. We discussed it. You cannot say that the Lord is responsible. He is also one of the doers. He is responsible for my entanglement, my suffering, my difficulties, my miseries. No, it's your desire. So the Lord is acting like a judge. A criminal is there in the court. He has done some mistake. The judge will give him punishment. Or somebody is there, some big freedom fighter or somebody who has saved some people from accidents, then the judge may give him reward. So the reward or punishment given by the supreme judge is according to the activities done by the person. Okay, good or bad. So in that sense, the judge may be a doer in one sense, but judge is not the doer also ultimately. 16th shloka. Jnanena tu tadajnanam yesham nashitam atmanah tesham aditya vajnanam prakashayati tatparam. So 16th shloka says that when, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as sun lights up everything in the daytime. Jnanena tu tad ajnanam. The ajnana that Krishna spoke in the 15th shloka, second half, will be completely destroyed with jnana, knowledge. Yesham nashitam atmanaha. The knowledge, the ignorance is destroyed by knowledge. Tesham adityavad jnanam prakashayati tatparam. How that knowledge destroys ignorance? Just like sun destroys darkness. Okay. Tama also means ignorance, tama also means darkness. Okay. So, when one's ignorance is removed by knowledge about the living entity, material nature and the Supreme Lord, one will take shelter of the Lord and attain liberation. So now, earlier we were discussing in this chart that by having jnana, by analyzing, jnana or sankhya, sankhya is analyzing matter and spirit. By having analytical knowledge of matter and spirit, you come to the understanding that spirit is permanent, eternal, matter is temporary and cause of entanglement. So by such proper jnana analysis, sankhya analysis of matter and spirit, you develop detachment from matter and attachment to the spirit. Okay? Thus, jnana yoga should culminate in devotion to the Supreme Lord. So, nishkama karma yoga ends up in jnana. Jnana means to have proper understanding of matter and spirit and develop detachment from matter and attachment to spirit. That should culminate in bhakti yoga. All these yogas, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, ashtanga yoga, all these things, karma yoga, should culminate in bhakti yoga. The essence of Bhagavad Gita is to perform devotional service unto Krishna. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru sarva dharman parityadya mam ekam sharanam vraja. That's what Krishna is just leading us to. Ultimate conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. And one has to take shelter of a spiritual master, a guru, to actually get that jnana. And that jnana is considered jnana plava, means a boat of knowledge. The boat of knowledge will help us cross over this ocean of ignorance or darkness. Okay? So we completed 16 shlokas. So we'll meet in the next session. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
What's the time now? We'll stop here. We'll do the second half later. Tomorrow we'll just start with chapter 1. We'll not start 6th chapter. Any questions or comments?
Tomorrow,
whatever time you say. Evening we have Sharad Purnima festival tomorrow. Last Sunday we didn't celebrate. Tomorrow Radhanath Maharaj is coming. So we will celebrate. Tomorrow there are some events here. Evening, Pyar Bhavan opening and all.
Some celebration. Open tomorrow? Pyar Bhavan?
Work is still pending, but we will do some yajna and then do some ceremony. It will become functional after a while. It's almost done, but not fully done. Prayena. Prayena means almost. Prayena alpayishu sadhya. Nashta prayishu abhadrishu. What have you all decided? I'm walking with you. I'll come with any venue also. If it is raining, we should not have outside.